My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris. He is a Middle East expert, a former professor in Middle East studies. He is a terrorism expert. He is an author, most recently, of The Lost Spring. He's been an advisor to the U.S. House of Representatives, and now he is a foreign policy advisor to presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. We want to get his reaction to some of the comments that presumptive Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton made in her foreign policy speech on Thursday. And Dr. Faris, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Well, let's listen to a couple of these clips. First of all, Hillary Clinton essentially making the case that Donald Trump not fit to be commander-in-chief. Here's that clip.
We're choosing our next commander-in-chief, the person we count on to decide questions of war and peace, life and death. And like many across our country and around the world, I believe the person the Republicans have nominated for president cannot do the job.
Like most of the things that we can react to in this speech, there's two different ways to look at it. One, what she actually said, and then secondly, who's the one giving this message. So what do you make of her assertion that Donald Trump is simply unfit for the office?
Well, basically, Secretary Clinton is making the case that Donald Trump cannot be the commander-in-chief because she has more experience, and then voters should vote for her instead of him. She argues that she has been for 4 years the Secretary of State of a great power, meeting with 80 or more world leaders, visiting 112 countries, meeting with ambassadors, receiving hundreds and hundreds, maybe up to 1,000 national security briefings. That is correct. The facts are here. But the problem is that once given all that power and all this ability to receive information, what did she do with those, would say Mr. Trump? Look at Libya in flames, Syria in flames, Iraq exploding, the Iran deal not working, ISIS not yet dismantled, the plans were not working. And of course, the reset button with Russia that she brought to Moscow had led to major crises with Russia in Ukraine, in Crimea, let alone the rise of jihadi homegrown cells around the world. So in terms of national security and foreign policy, Mr. Trump will make the case that you have been given all that opportunity. What did you do with it is the real question.
If we use the past as prologue, do you believe that she is fit to be commander-in-chief?
Well, she could claim that she is fit because of the fact that she was Secretary of State, but because of the, in my view, poor strategic judgment on Libya. You allow jihadi militias in Libya to be armed by the United States. Libya is in chaos. Those jihadis would send weapons and men fighting in Syria, increasing the capacity of the jihadis there and decreasing the capacity of solving that problem in 11 and then 12, of course, after she left with the Obama administration. And the rest is ISIS. So I'm actually genetically born in Libya. And, of course, the Iran deal, which she had supported and began the process with President Obama, and he completed it, that Iran deal led to a super Iran now that is in control of Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, parts of Yemen. So if you base your judgment on how she strategically positioned herself, at least in the region, let alone in other regions in terms of North Korea or Russia, then we would think that it would be much better to have another person, another candidate to become the president of the United States.
While she did mention some specific issues in her speech, Dr. Faris, much of her quotes, and certainly the ones that are getting the most media attention, are ones that focus on Trump's temperament. She says you have to have the right temperament for this job. We can't have somebody who's going to be easily offended and therefore potentially starting conflicts over insults. So what did you make of her focus on the temperament issue, and how do you respond to her argument that Trump doesn't have the proper temperament?
It is a little bit naive to state that Mr. Trump, because of statements made during rallies in the primaries, or either statements or jokes. I mean, remember President Reagan when you know, he was running, and before that when he was running for the governorship in California, he had the temperament of an actor, was an excellent actor, and yet he became an excellent president. In this case, it's what you do when you are confronted with the information. Mr. Trump has been, and without disclosing any information here, receiving a lot of briefings by people who have been in government, ex-generals, ex-former people, intelligence community. He has not released any of that information in his speeches during the primaries and now as a presumptive nominee, while Secretary Clinton from time to time does. release some of the information. Not all of it is secretive. And, of course, we had the whole issue of the email, the poor judgment on the email. So if you want to do the actual comparison or as to who has better temperament, you know, I would think that Mr. Trump, because he has been a person who has been in the center of a network for over 20 years, it's not a political network, but an international business network, dealing with politicians, dealing with decision makers, he has the actual temperament to become the president of the United States.
Dr. Farris, just to follow up on the news you gave us there about getting some briefings, is he getting the formal national security briefings, or does that only happen once he's the official nominee?
Well, this is an internal operation with government. We cannot opine on it, but certainly after he becomes the president of the actual nominee, that would be after the convention, he will officially receive briefings from the U.S. government.
Let's look at listen to another clip from Secretary Clinton in her speech, and in a mocking way, essentially saying that Donald Trump doesn't really have a good grasp on the important issues facing the next commander-in-chief.
Donald Trump's ideas aren't just different. They are dangerously incoherent. They're not even really ideas, just a series of bizarre rants, personal feuds, and outright lies.
You have said in previous interviews with us, Dr. Farris, that obviously Trump spent the vast majority of his life in the business world, and there's somewhat of a learning curve going on with global affairs here in terms of foreign policy. But what do you make of her assessment that Trump doesn't have basically this core set of principles and knows what he wants to do on a variety of issues?
There is no evidence for that, Greg. Basically, this is a challenge. If you put Secretary Clinton and Mr. Trump in one room, on a round table, give them the same information, and ask them to make judgment, strategic decisions. If Mr. Trump was given the same information about Libya, that, you know, Ansar al-Sharia or other groups that we have been arming and training were actually jihadists, would he have accepted that the U.S. government would arm them and train them? Would he have accepted the policies we had on Libya? Would he have accepted that those weapons would be traveling to Syria and later on create the context for ISIS? No. Would he have accepted, with the same information given to him by the negotiators or by the intelligence community, that a deal will be cut with the Iranian Ayatollahs and $150 billion will be sent to them? Of course not. It's not about the way and the narrative and the choice of words during the primaries. It's about your judgment when you are dealing with a strategic organization. She had her strategic organization, the State Department. He had a strategic organization, a multinational company, and we saw that the results were very different.
How much of the Trump campaign going forward now to the general election is going to be focusing on what you and he obviously consider to be a very weak record during her time as Secretary of State? Will we see, given all the other issues out there, that he will spend a lot of time talking about Libya and Iraq and Syria and Egypt and Russia and some of these other areas that she likes to tout, but in full analysis often don't impress many American voters?
Look, Greg, she basically makes the attacks on presumptive arguments that he cannot, never gives an argument, never gives an evidence, and then she has her flanks are completely open. There's so much information, you know, from Morocco all the way to China and beyond into North Korea, into what we have done in Latin America. I mean, he didn't even begin the discussion of the real issues of national security and foreign policy, and yet she is going out of her way to say that he doesn't know. She will see in the debate that not only he knows, but what to do about it is even a bigger challenge. Because if asked, what are you going to do about Syria? And her answer is going to be, we're going to sit down, think about it, trust me, and we'll do what it is in the interest of the United States. That is not an answer. You have to give strategic direction.
Dr. Farris, you've been advising him for a number of weeks now. What's your analysis of his ability to handle that learning curve and to beef up pretty quickly on some of these issues?
Again, we can't speak about the internal operation. That's for sure. No advisor would be able to speak about that. But, I mean, most advisors who have met him before, meaning outside advisors, experts, for many months now, not just myself, will tell you that he is very inquisitive. He would ask many, many questions. And two types of questions that are important that many people who met with him over the years and the months with regard to these international issues, not just many questions, he always asks the downside of a solution and then the alternative to this solution, which tells me that that's how a decision maker should behave.
Going to be fascinating to watch. Thank you, sir, for offering your insights as always.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg.
You bet. Dr. Waleed Faris is now an advisor to the Donald Trump presidential campaign. He has also been an advisor to the House of Representatives. He's been a professor of Middle East Studies. He's still a terrorism expert, and his most recent book is The Lost Spring, U.S. Policy in the Middle East and Catastrophes to Avoid. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.